afford to be. This is small town music, this is big town music. He's ahead of his time, you know, but he can't use it. If only he could prove it. Well, tomorrow's just a song away, a song away, a song away.
Hello and welcome to Rock Solid, your comedy podcast for all things music, both new and classic. I am classic Pat Francis.
And I am new and improved Gary Lucy. How's it going, everybody?
What improves you, Gary?
I had a little beard trim.
You did?
Yeah. Like I was trying to let it shag out a little more because, you know, I like to do whatever I can to make my face look puffier. Mm-hmm. But I decided I'll trim it down. I was looking like you know what it is. I caught a glimpse of that jerk from American Idol last year, Casey. I can't.
Which one is he?
I was going to say Casey Anthony, but that was it. That was somebody else. But,
well, she's a jerk, too.
She's though. A jerk, too. But clean shaven. But he was a guy. He thought he was like a jazz kind of guy, but he was just irritating.
Yeah.
Anyway, so I said, I don't want to look so much like him. But
I had a beard trim in high school.
Really?
Yeah, I broke up with my girlfriend, started dating dudes.
Good. You had to cut her loose.
Yeah.
And I've been on a big jag of Scramble with Friends. You've been playing that at all?
No, I'm still playing the old
words
with friends.
You're a creditable words player. You're good at that. But
when I play Matt Belknap, he kicks my ass good. Every time.
That's good. But if anybody wants to scramble it up, Gary Lucy on that.
I thought maybe this was like a thing where you get together and everyone makes their best scrambled egg dish.
Just like an omelet bar. Yeah. Throw some oysters in there.
Which I would enjoy, actually.
That sounds good.
I love an egg bar. Matt, how are you doing?
Hey, I'm good.
Matt is not going to be the silent partner anymore. He's on mic, and he might just speak up.
I realize I say two things every episode, and to do that, I have to get up and walk to your mic, which is
right.
Distracting and jarring for everyone.
Yeah,
so.
It probably doesn't even sound good at home for the home listener. So
yeah, or I try to yell and hope that something picks me up.
But. So Matt's going to be on mic when he has something important to say.
I will not abuse this power.
And he doesn't have to edit himself as much. Like, oh, should I say
that's
it or not? And then like. Yeah, so that's good. And going to the Wilco concert tonight.
Oh, you are?
Very excited.
Who are you going with?
My friend Michael. Michael, he hooked me up with the tickets. That's good.
Cool. Free.
Yeah, I think so. I think it's free.
You hope so.
Yeah.
Don't you hate when you think it's
free? Yeah, hey, thanks.
And then you go, these were like $80. Yeah. Oh! Where's Wilco playing?
It's Palladium.
All right, cool.
That's going to be good. They were on Conan last night, and I was going to go, but they put you through so much crap when you go. You have to listen to this comedian and all that.
You mean that you don't mean the comedian. You mean the guy up, the opening act.
Yeah,
the guy
that
guy.
Tedious.
Yeah. He's always yelling at me when I'm at the show, like, sit down, young fella. And then he knows my name. So I go, Pat Francis. And I'm like, oh, jeez. I just want to enjoy the show.
couple bits of business, and right. Pat's going to throw one on the CD rack of the gods here.
That's what we're calling it. It's not best of the best. That's too easy.
Well, that's a part. It'll have like eight names. But
okay.
Today is Tuesday's new release day. Amnesty International is putting out to celebrate their 50th anniversary. They have a compilation, 75 Bob Dylan covers on this.
Oh my God.
Compilation, and you know which. Includes every you know, like the Usual Suspects, Elvis Costello and Lucinda Williams, and then like Kesha
and Miley Cyrus is on there.
Yeah, and she's on there. And in fact, why don't you play a little bit of that for us now, man?
Is this Kesha?
This is Miley.
Oh, you actually had Miley.
This is.
I didn't even know this.
This is like surprisingly like, hey, I could get down to this.
I've seen love go by my door. It's never been this close before. Never been so easy or so slow.
That's Miley Cyrus?
Yeah.
Sounds good.
You're shooting in the dark too long. When something's not right, it's wrong. You're gonna make me lonesome when you go. Dragging clouds so high above.
She said, you know, it's not for nothing that Dolly Parton is her godmother.
You're right.
She's like paid attention.
But this time around, it's more correct. Right on. So you're gonna make me lonesome when you go.
Talk about human rights violations. So you gotta hear this, Kesha. So it's, don't think twice. It's all right. And then they follow right up with, it goes from the ridiculous to the sublime of the Kronos Quartet, also doing the same song.
And isn't Stephen Hawking doing Subterranean Homesick Blues?
He does, and it takes forever.
it's the longest track.
No, he's but in the basement.
Mixing up my design.
So check that off the list.
That's great. And is that available on iTunes? Like, can I cherry pick some tunes?
I think you can.
And that money goes to what? Right in Bob Dylan's back pocket?
No, it goes to Amnesty International.
Okay. That money should go to Smile Train.
Chimes of Freedom. Yeah. Hey, we should put together a compilation.
Smile Train compilation.
Yeah, who could be on it? John Waite.
No. Yeah, John Waite could be on. Wait, we could do it well with the Beach Boys because they have a song called Smile.
That's it. All right. All right. So we're gonna produce that. All right. You may recall we were in the middle of the Nickelback decathlon of suck.
Oh yeah.
We're trying to figure out what sounds worse than Nickelback. So far we heard a leaf blower.
Okay.
We heard a car alarm. Nickelback lost both of those handily. Between shows, we had fingernails on a chalkboard. We had fork in a garbage disposal.
Oh.
We had fingernails in a garbage disposal. Oh. That one was close. We had squeaky balloon animals. Almost won that one.
I remember that one.
Have you ever heard those tapes that like hunters use? It's like of like injured rabbits. to attract like animals.
That would be in Ted Nugent's playlist.
Yeah, that is. It's on his playlist. Nickelback, almost that one. So we're up to the 10th event in the decathlon of suck. Will Nickelback triumph? Can we listen longer to Nickelback? First here,
Nickelback takes a licking.
They keep on nicking. Here comes.
Sorry, I didn't have my clock ready.
Sorry about that. I sprung this on you.
Yeah, you only ramped up for 2 minutes. I couldn't quite put it together.
And in all honesty, we all have an iPhone clock in front of us. Any one of us could have.
All right, here we go.
That's the timekeeper.
Here comes Nickelback first. We're not doing. We're doing a different song this time, right?
Yeah. Yeah. Someday, right?
Yeah. Okay. Here we go.
Safe word is shoe polish.
We able to see the signs that we missed.
I'm good.
That's enough.
I'm good.
That was 14 seconds.
All right. And from a listener suggested dial-up phone modem. Let's give it a listen. Mm-hmm. Kind of techno-y so far. I like it. This takes me back.
It does. I love this because you would be waiting and wait. So you wanted this. You just... Well, I'm almost there. Come on. It's close.
Yeah. Boy, this really does take me back. The first thing that I ever...
There's some layers here, though. That's what I like about it.
That's the whole track.
Exactly. Right. Movement.
And how long was the track?
24 seconds.
Oh, okay. Woo-hoo!
Nickelback, you made
lose.
It. 10 events. 10 times you went
down. Sorry, Nickelback.
All right. Well, no, I think it's great. I think they've proved something. We prove, we just piled on them, huh?
We didn't put them up against the ultimate competitor.
Who's it?
My daughter.
Oh! Is she a...
I'm kidding.
Oh. Matt's at the pageant. Boo!
I would go see Zoe Belknap in concert over Nickelback any day.
For sure.
I don't mean her singing. I just mean her.
Oh, okay.
Just her. You know, her with a cold, her when she needs a nap and won't take one.
Well, you know what? Maybe
her when I won't give her ice cream.
Not see, it sounds like her problem is with you. You're making her do a lot of stuff that she doesn't want to do.
A child cannot live on ice cream, I tell you.
It's like the nap thing. It's like, hey, what if I just said, okay, Matt, go over there on the couch right now and I want you to sleep for 2 hours. No, you do it.
I'm in the middle of something. I'm playing.
Are you kidding? I would be so psyched.
Yeah. That might not be a good example.
My whole life, that is my dream.
Please, somebody, please make me
someone
take a nap.
Like inviting me to sleep.
Okay, Gary, I am ready to, and Matt, I'm ready to throw down my pick for CD of the Gods, Best of the Best, All Time Greatest.
Our ever expanding monument to the albums that have been approved as rock solid perfect.
Yes, and this is so that means every track.
Yeah,
there's no filler as a whole. It's a great album.
Yes.
So I'm gonna go with the Beatles album.
All right, fair enough.
I thought you'd just play it in, man.
What the?
You're just gonna go?
That is correct.
You want to hear it?
Did we take a break?
No.
Are we on a break?
He got a text and you started leading into a thing, which I thought would be more fun to just play. Yeah.
Well, you're right. The next time, that's what we'll do. I'm not a good broadcaster. But what I wanted to say was I picked a Beatles album, but I didn't pick like Rubber Soul or
Sergeant Pepper.
Sergeant Pepper or Revolver. Or Abbey
album.
Road, you know, I picked their third album, what? Which is A Hard Day's Night. It's the first Beatles album where all the compositions were Lennon McCartney. Oh. They weren't doing any of those, you know, BS covers like Kansas City or whatever. Right. And from start to finish, this album has great pop songs. It came out 48 years ago. It's got songs, you know, like I Should Have Known Better and Hard Day's Night and If I Fell and I Love Her. And Can't Buy Me Love. But then it's got all these other great songs that you forget about. Like Let's Try Six. Let's try track six.
Tell me why.
Tell me why you cry.
Try number eight.
And why you lie to me.
Try 12.
Oh, man, this is the best.
Yeah.
A good stalker song.
I got something to say that might cause you pain. If I catch you talking to that boy again, I'm gonna let you down.
Try 9. Nine will be our last one.
I got every reason on earth to be mad.
The album clocks in at 30 minutes and 53 seconds, 13 songs, not one song over 3 minutes long. I Should Have Known Better, I think, is the longest one at 247. It's great, top to bottom, pop songs.
And this is like the point in their career when they're just like when Peter Parker is figuring out like, hey, I could kind of climb up a wall.
Yeah, exactly.
Like, yeah, so they're just like starting to feel their powers a little
right.
bit.
So as far as the early Beatles albums go, before they get to Rubber Soul and Revolver, which I think is a big turning point, I think this is the best of the first five Beatles albums. So
nice, very nice. And this is also a fun movie for kids to watch. Like, you know, if they're like Bieber or something like that, it crosses generations. It's still fun to watch.
All right, cool.
And Paul's grandfather's very clean.
Which brings us, I don't even know if that brings us at all to where we're going today. But our topic today is we're back to the Rock Solidopedia. Matt picked a letter for us. Matt picked letter D.
Letter D.
So we're going to jump right in with some letter D songs. Gary, I'm going to let you kick it off.
All right, man. When it comes to electronic music, there's Daft Punk and there is everybody else. Let's hear some Digital Love. Now, this is Daft Punk is two French robots who are very much in love, and this is what it sounds like. Might listen to in your life, don't you?
Yeah,
Daft Punk. What if Pat gave one listen to this and he just like went off the deep end? He was just like a rave kid from now on. Like he was
Daft Punk just did the Tron Legacy soundtrack, right?
Oh, yes, they did.
That was a big, that was a nice soundtrack.
Yeah, speaking of which, the Academy Award nominations came out today. Two songs are nominated for Best Song.
They could only find two.
It was the Muppet song about, am I a Muppet or a man?
There's probably more than one song from the Muppets that could have been nominated.
I know, yeah, that Amy Adams song was brilliant. And then the other one was from Rio. And it's funny because
everyone remembers Rio.
Because everybody remembers Rio. It was a good movie. And Jermaine from Flight of the Conchords. He had a great song in there, not nominated, but that would have been good if it was, if it would have been like,
that's totally, you know, BS. The Flight of the Conchords. We can't even have a show about this.
I know. There's only two things.
You pick one and I'll pick the other and we'll just battle it out for 45 minutes.
Oscar songs.
Did he write the Muppets one too?
Yeah,
he
Brett
wrote all the songs.
Brett wrote the Muppet songs.
Oh, just Brett.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So yeah, weird. Could be a rift. Could be a schism in the community. Right. But anyway,
letter D.
Kick off your D's, Pat.
I'm going to kick off with a song from '72. This is one of the bands that often gets touted as being one of the great hard rock heavy metal bands of all time. This is a little Deep Purple.
Oh.
This is also a good one for your iPod when you're on the treadmill.
Yeah, it's a good workout song. Or if you have like a...
Matt's into it.
I was too into it. I
didn't give him. He couldn't see my cue.
That's good if you're driving like a big rig full of Coors.
That's right.
To Chattahoochee.
Are you trying to get it across the county line?
Trying to get across the county
line. Are you bootlegging?
Well, yeah, I'm bootlegging some of my own Coors.
Yeah. It's Ian Gillan on vocals.
Yeah.
That's Richie Blackmore's Deep Purple from Machine Head. Love it.
That's one of those bands that, yeah, really went through a lot of singers, but kind of maintained, yeah, like a lot of personnel changes. That must have been sad for the singer. Like, you know, they must have been on thin ice the whole time.
It's one of those, you know, like then David Coverdale and Glenn Hughes came. It's very incestuous back then, because then Ian Gillan goes to Black Sabbath, and you know, everyone's just bopping around everywhere back then. It just, they didn't care.
They didn't even care. They didn't even know.
They just weren't. No,
they just showed up at the wrong place.
Drunk.
This is a group from this was like very exciting. Like I was living in Portland when these guys were coming up, and you know, it was just so exciting. You know, to feel like, oh, I think, you know, they're getting really big. They were kind of like, there was a great music scene there, but this band was kind of on the outside of it because they were very, like, they're very open about their ambition. Like, oh yeah, we're going to be huge. We're, you know, and that was like,
those,
you know,
people.
That's like very frowned upon. Like, yeah, and like in the hipster scene, but they just could not be denied. And they would often play naked, which was also very exciting. I am speaking, of course, of the Dandy Warhols. And this is not If You Were the Last Junkie on Earth. Rock solid.
I never thought you'd be a junkie, because heroin is so passé. But today, if you think that I don't know about depression and emotional pain, you're insane. But you're a fool who hasn't paid attention to a word that I say. In a way, I can't help but feel responsible. I always do.
Heroin is so passe, but I love Heroin Classic. I just love, like, just got that taste. Just hits the spot.
I like Heroin Free.
Oh, you do? Oh, yeah. Good. Yeah, it's less calories.
Oh,
and,
my one friend loves Heroin Max.
Heroin Max.
He loves it.
Well, it's got the panics in there. You saw that documentary, Dig, right? About
Did I see it?
It's about Dandy Warhols and the Brian Jonestown Massacre and kind of their rivalry. And
I did not get to see that.
Oh, it's amazing. It's one of the best rock documentaries of all time.
I did just watch the George Harrison documentary, though, the one that Scorsese did.
That was good.
And do you see it?
Yeah.
The thing I took note of most about George Harrison is that dude rocked a lot of hairstyles.
A lot of different ones, yeah.
Holy cow. And like everyone, not even like close to being similar to the one previous. A lot of different facial hair, a lot of, you know, a full beard, a long beard, just a mustache, a goatee, everything. He had like a perm at one point. I mean, it was crazy.
Yeah, do you think he actually got a perm? Like maybe.
Yeah, because it was like ring curls. It was like really big. I mean, You put him up against a Jackson Browne who rocks the same hairstyle his whole entire life. Jackson Browne goes down.
It's about versatility.
I'm telling you, it was crazy.
But yeah, with no in-betweens. You don't see him like with a medium-sized beard. You see him...
No, you see either clean-shaven or crazy.
Maybe he fancied himself a master of disguise.
I don't know. He might have been.
Could be.
He was in that movie with Dana Carvey, wasn't he, Master of Disguise?
I think he was, yeah. Do you know what Dana...
It was a cameo, but no one knew it was him.
Oh! Yeah.
I've seen that movie like 20 times, that Master Disguise.
Do you know Preston
what,
loves it?
He loves it. And do you know what Dana Carvey's character's name is?
Tell me.
Pistachio Disguisey. He's like...
I think that movie might be rated G.
G, yeah, it is.
Speaking of G-rated music.
Yeah.
Let's jump to 1966. People like this guy ironically now. You go to see him in concert, there's a lot of people rocking ironically. But for me, in the 60s and 70s, Neil Diamond was a great singer-songwriter. And this is one of my favorites. This is Solitary Man.
The Linda was mine till the time that I found her.
This is Mono.
Holding Jim.
Enjoy it.
Loving him.
As is Hard Day's Night.
That's true.
Then Sue came along, loved me strong. That's what I thought.
That's what you're going to use the mic for?
Me and Sue.
That was informational.
Don't know that I will, but I'm
some horns there.
I can find.
Kind of farting in there a little bit. Excuse me.
Stay, won't play games behind me.
Solitary man. He's done with the ladies.
He's through with it.
He's going to hang out solo.
He's not going to put his heart out there to get hurt again.
Maybe that's a euphemism for masturbation.
Oh, that could be.
What are you going to do? I'm going to be solitary man.
Today's his birthday, as it turns out.
Oh, it is. Well, yeah. I should know that. How old is he? 70?
He might be 70. I forgot to put the year, but yeah, you should check out that Rock Solid Facebook page. We always have the birthdays.
Oh,
on
I do. I just didn't see it today.
He was
Robin Zander's birthday was yesterday.
That's true. That's true. Yeah, a lot of great rock birthdays in January. He's you ever check out that Super Diamond? Like the
No, I heard they're great though.
That's is a fun time.
That's
and
a cover band. Does he sound like Neil Diamond?
Sounds a lot like Neil Diamond, and it just makes you realize this guy's got 1,000 hits.
Yeah, he really does. So you know, long before the "You Don't Bring Me Flowers" and all that kind of schmaltzy crap like Heartlight. He was a good singer-songwriter in the 60s and early 70s.
He could rock. Yeah, I've gone down many a Neil Diamond rabbit hole on YouTube. Like, oh, he's on the Johnny Cash Show. I got to watch that.
His real name is actually Neil Diamond, but he was toying with stage names at one point. He was going to go with Ice Cherry.
Really?
Which is a better porn star name.
Yeah, that is good.
Go ahead, Gary.
Here is just a perfect hard rock song from... I believe it's 2007, and I don't know if it's like on the up and up or if it's like a satire of a hard rock song, but it's just to me, I could just listen to it all day. It is by The Darkness, and it's called "I Believe in a Thing Called Love,"
produced by Roy Thomas Baker.
Is that right? That explains it. Chunky riffage. Get the falsetto flips and the vocals.
Can't explain all the feelings that you're making me feel. My heart's in overdrive and you're behind the steering wheel. Touching you.
Delicious. Got the creamy backing vocals in there. And also, like, before the guitar solo, he says, "Guitar!" Which is great.
I was just cracked up at the feelings that I feel. And I have to correct myself. Roy Thomas Baker produced their second album. This first album was produced by Pedro Ferrara.
Huh.
Which also might be a porn
The star. Mexican Roy Thomas Baker.
Yeah.
Much cheaper.
So, yeah, I love the Darkness music. I don't like the vocals that much.
Oh, really?
When they do the real high register.
Because do you think that's what adds to like the like are these guys kidding around quality?
That puts them in the Steel Panther category for me. Like are they joking or not? But the music, it totally is a throwback and totally rocks.
Hits the spot. All right.
So from 2007, we're going to go to 2008. Mm-hmm. The song I heard on the radio, and I was like, well, what's this song? What's this band? It took me forever to find it. It's a song called I Will Possess Your Heart by Death Cab for Cutie.
Awesome. How I wish you could see the potential of you and me. It's like a book elegantly bound, but in a language that you can't read just yet. You gotta spend some time, love. You gotta spend some time with me, and I know that you'll find love. I will possess your heart.
Has the world gone topsy-turvy?
I know. What's going on?
Me playing The Darkness, you playing Death Cab for Cutie.
I know. That's crazy. I think we just did a little mini version of
the old Switcheroo show that somebody suggested.
Yeah, what was it called then? I can't remember. My brain is... I'm on brain freeze today.
Somebody suggested
Invasion
of
the Body Snatchers.
Invasion of the Body, yeah.
Just happened. And the album version is 8 minutes on that.
It's 8 minutes long. And I think they released that as the single version, the 8 minute version.
But you could also get the...
there's
a radio edit. It's 3 minutes and 31 seconds. Okay. What is radio?
I don't know. I'm not
That's
sure.
That's what I'm confused with. That was one that I'm like, radio. I understand edit makes it shorter, but radio, I'm confused.
Go ahead. Song is great, though. I mean, he's a great lyricist, but that one is just, it's so direct and so like Hemingway-esque. There's like 9 words in there or something.
Yep.
It's just like, so
it's
like, you know, it's just about obsession and, I'm so glad he's out of the evil clutches of Shishu, who shall not be named, because now he can write some more good heartbreak songs. People think like, oh, Death Cab, there's like a soccer mom band, but they rock hard when you see them, and they got good songs.
You've seen them in concert?
Yeah.
All right, cool.
Very good. Okay, this, let's do a thing. This, there was so many great D bands from my college days, the DBs and Dump Truck and Don Dixon and Daddy in His Deep Sleep.
Duran Duran.
No, not Duran Duran.
Depeche Mode.
Depeche Mode. But the one I decided on, I said, how can I play something cool and help build the word power of our listeners? This is a great group from 1987 called Defenestration.
Do you know what? Say that again?
Defenestration.
I don't know what you're talking about.
And
isn't that like cutting penises in half or something?
No.
What's that? What's that called?
I think that's called fillet.
You know what I'm talking about?
I think I do.
Like, there's some cultures that they split penises down the middle.
So you could like...
What's defenestration? Let's start there.
Defenestration means to throw someone or something out the window.
Oh, okay.
As in the defenestration of Prague.
I think I'd rather be thrown out the window than have my penis cut in two.
But it was also this group from Oklahoma City, this hard rock band. This sounds not unlike The Darkness. And this is a hard record to find anymore, called Dolly Does Windows. But it's if you're clever, you can find it on the internet. And this is called I Must Have Been You on Rock Solid. I'm that lame for 1987. Just the wrong time, I guess, wrong place, but I always enjoyed that song.
That's a good song.
That's good. Yeah, it's good stuff. I don't think they still have like an active website. I think they still play around and stuff, but I think they're bitter. I think they
that would be a good name for a band. Active website.
Active website. That is good.
I like that.
I have. If you have an overactive website, ask your doctor. What's on this
we're going to do a little Dire Straits.
Oh.
And there's something for me about third albums sometimes are the album that really kicks the band into high gear for me, like
I'm trying to think of
Born to Run or Damn the Torpedoes.
Is that making movies?
Yes, making movies.
Oh, wow, cool.
And this is a song called, I love making movies. I love the whole album. Yeah. And this is Skate Away.
Oh, it's great.
She gets rock and roll in a rock and roll stage. Rock and roll.
So, and that was when they would only put like seven songs on that, or five.
Yeah, five
Love
songs.
Love Over Gold is five songs. But it's so funny that they became like popular. MTV made these guys popular. Not a good looking band.
No.
But they had that, they had an animated video, partially animated, and then they said the word MTV in their song with the help of Sting, and they, Brothers in Arms becomes gigantic.
That's all it took. Yeah, I only got to see them in the headband era when they don't discount the headbands. They started wearing those. That was
But so those first three first four I guess all the Dire Straits is pretty. If you like them, you like them. But making movies is the best for me.
Oh yeah, and just that his guitar playing is tasty.
Yeah, it really is.
Very nice. So, man, all right, I'm gonna have to start making some hard choices here. What? How many songs do you have?
That was just four. I have three more.
Okay, yeah, I could probably do three more. This
we have time. I think we have time. We're doing good.
This next one is I used to have this roommate back in. Back when Dire Straits was popular, and he had the largest record collection I've ever seen, just like really crazy eclectic stuff like you never heard any. He was really focused on like 60s British pop, and I couldn't believe some of these things, and I thought he was just doing it for effect, like Johnny Kidd and the Pirates. Have you ever heard them? Like, it was a guy, he had a hook for a hand. It was like his thing. It was literally his hook, and he'd have like that. But I saw he had this one, and it was this group called, like, now I know you're just putting me on. You're just like trying to have like weird things for weirdness sake. Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick, and Titch. What the hell kind of name is that for a band? It's like, oh, no, they're great, great British band. In fact, this is Pete Townsend's favorite band. He was going to quit The Who and join Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick, and Titch and call it Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mick, and Titch, and Pete. I'm like, what? Such a thing never happened. Fast forward 20 years, I'm seeing the movie Grindhouse.
Uh-oh.
Did you see that? The Quentin Tarantino and Robert Rodriguez?
I did not see that.
Oh, this was during the Quentin Tarantino part where Death Proof, where Kurt Russell's trying to run over sexy chicks in his car.
Oh, this is one of those movies where Quentin Tarantino is telling the audience, look how cool I am.
Yes, exactly. Okay. Especially on his soundtrack. And this is what I hear. Here's a little clip from that.
What do you
want to
hear?
Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mitch, and Titch. Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mitch, and Titch. Who the fuck are they? For your information, Pete Townsend at one point almost quit The Who, and if he had, he would have ended up in this group, thus making it Dave D, Dozy, Beaky, Mitch, Titch, and Pete. And if you ask me, he should have. That's my boy!
Let's wrap around the pound and hold tight. Shut your eyes, girl, you set me up for Zion.
So during that scene, it's just sexy chicks are driving around in their muscle car, like rocking out, and then, oh, here comes Kurt Russell, and he's gonna.
I would love to hear them do their Tommy.
Oh, there you go. Yes,
live in concert.
Yeah, big crazy.
Pete wouldn't have been happy in that band.
Probably not, but yeah, that was probably but you have fantasies sometimes, like, oh, maybe I could be an Alaskan fisherman or something like that. I think maybe that's what he was thinking of.
Gary, is that your fantasy to be an Alaskan fisherman?
Yeah. Maybe.
Have you watched Deadliest Catch? I don't think you want to go up there, man.
Well, what goes on there? It's they get a bad cold, right?
That's the Deadliest Catch? Mostly that's what happens.
Okay. Anyway, over to you, Pat Francis.
All righty. This is an artist I don't know anything about him. The only thing I know about him is he's from England, and that he was invited to audition to replace Phil Collins when Phil Collins left Genesis. But don't hold that against him, because he might have a lot of good songs, but I only know one of his songs. The artist is named Francis Dunnery. This is a song called from 1995 called Too Much Saturn, from an album called Tall Blonde Helicopter. And this was hard to drop the needle down anywhere. It was really tough because to get a feel of what the song's about a guy who does all these things, but he does them for the wrong reasons. Like, he does this because he thinks this, but he's really doing it because of this. So I hope you get this. It's Too Much Saturn by Francis.
I always believed that if I never missed a yoga class, read my horoscope in the dailies, recycle bottles and know a red Indian, I could call myself a spirit man. But I was only doing yoga cause I fancied the teacher, and stars cause it looked good on paper. And I only went to church cause my granny gave me money when confession was over. And I only knew the Indian cause his brother's a dealer, bottles at a price on their return, so I could go and play. Oh, mama. And so I ask myself what my motives are for this light need to look so free. And if I tell myself real honestly, what more can I do to open up a door? He said, I'm gonna find out what I'm here for. He said, I'd find out soon. I got too much Saturn, not enough moon.
Wow, that's neat.
Yeah, I just love that song.
That's really cool. Francis Dunnery?
Francis Dunnery from Tall Blonde Helicopter. I guess start there if you like that song. And then work your way around all his other albums. I, of course, know one song.
Never heard of that bloke. And he was going to replace Phil Collins.
In Genesis. I think maybe he made the right choice.
He
didn't feel like singing Illegal Alien.
Yeah. Oh, my God. Ouch. You know what? Bring it a full circle. You can see young teenage Phil Collins in that train scene at on Hard Day's Night when they're going.
Oh, yeah, you're right.
Yeah, that's he has hair. Right. So he might not.
He has hair. And he looks like just a little version of him with hair.
Exactly. Like, who's that Phil Collins looking kid? Is that Francis Dunnery? This is, Pat, I am nothing if not a big theater buff.
Oh, I know.
I love I love the musical theater.
You like Pippin, right?
I love Pippin. Pippin ain't easy. I don't know if you've ever tried to sing any of those songs. But this is from an amazing musical called The Drowsy Chaperone, which came out in the mid-2000s. And it's super funny. And there's amazing songs in it. And the structure of it's brilliant. It's kind of like, it's a guy, he's sitting around listening to his records, like his old Broadway cast albums. And oh, look at this dusty old one. The Drowsy Chaperone, you know, and he's like listening to that and kind of feeling melancholy. And as he listens to it, like the show kind of comes to life and goes in his apartment. But then, like at the start of Act Two, it's like a show within a show. But then at the start of Act Two, it's a show within a show within a show, because he accidentally puts on the wrong record. Uh-huh. And he puts on the record for a show called Message from a Nightingale, and which is kind of like a spoof of like The King and I or Flower Drum Song or any of those offensive like Asian musicals, South Pacific or something like that. If you could cue this up to about 38 seconds, Matt, from The Drowsy Chaperone, and we'll hear a little bit of Message from a Nightingale.
You know Bao! And American lady, no see, I do.
Pat, you cannot shake your head at this. This is your
sometimes
number one go-to joke.
Outlook can change your point of view.
I don't appreciate this.
What?
Precisely. What is it about the Asians that fascinates Caucasians? What is it about the Asians that's so nice? Is it the wontons, the egg rolls, the rice? Perhaps it's Buddha or Confucius and their excellent advice.
What is it about Caucasians that mystifies we Asians? What is it about Caucasians that's so odd? They call a plitty rady a fraud. They have hair upon their chest, and they only have one god.
Did you want to
Anyway, so
impossible.
If you get a chance to see Drowsy Chaperone, especially with the great Sutton Foster,
I'd still rather listen to that than Yoko Ono.
Okay, very good. It's the same thing.
I'm going to jump to 1975.
All right.
This might have been the first time I heard Bob Dylan.
Oh.
My brother brought this 45 home, and it was a double-sided 45. The song was 8 minutes long, and it continued on the other side.
Oh, you had to flip it over.
You had to flip it over. This is also the first time I ever heard, I think, a story song about something that was political.
Uh-huh.
And also, it's the first time that maybe I ever heard the N-word sung on a song.
Wow.
But this song's called Hurricane. Uh-huh. It's about the boxer Reuben Hurricane Carter.
Yeah.
They made a movie about him with Denzel Washington, a boxer wrongly accused. And I love this. This is my favorite Bob Dylan song. I still love it. I think it's perfect. It's a perfect story song, and without being too ramming it down your throat. I mean, I think it works as a song. So let's play a little bit of Hurricane.
Now all the criminals in their coats and their ties.
Lawyers.
I'm free to drink martinis and watch the sunrise. While Reuben sits like Buddha in a 10-foot cell. An innocent man in a living hell. Yes, that's the story of the hurricane. But it won't be over till they clear his name. Put in a prison cell, but one time he gonna be the champion of the world.
That's just the tail end of the song. Obviously, the story's over until he gets released eventually.
I don't think that that's on that Amnesty International thing.
I don't think that is.
Oh, wait a minute. No, it is. It has its... can't think of somebody stupid. Justin Bieber.
The Wiggles.
The Wiggles are singing Hurricane. That's you know what's great about that, besides that hot conga track in there?
And then there's also some fiddle in there. Yeah. There's a lot of instrumentation in this song.
But it's great that it's kind of like in that folk tradition of, like, you know, that's kind of how the news got around back in the old days, you know, and so it's kind of like in that. And I think it actually led to some justice, I think. You know,
I think so. It's so funny because I've been watching these Paradise Lost documentaries
this week with the
West Memphis Three, mm-hmm. And so it kind of made me think of this. I remember the 45 jacket had a picture of Reuben Hurricane Carter, you know, in a boxing stance.
Man,
so kind of.
I'm so happy those West Memphis Three kids got out, and I'm really interested to see how Damien Echols is going to do on Dancing with the Stars. I think. I think he's got a chance. I think
that guy does look like a rock star, though.
Yeah, he does.
Like, the one guy's really dumb, and the one guy's just a young, innocent type of a kid. And then the Damien Echols, man, he's rocking like the Jack White look.
He really does. Yeah, yeah. He kept it together.
I don't know what else is in store for those guys, but at the very least, they should have free Metallica tickets for life.
At least,
come on. They should get something back for just that. Was the problem that they liked Metallica, right? That was like the main.
Yeah.
And they spray painted a pentagram. That's things like this bother me so much because I listened to that music when I was a kid, mm-hmm. and I drew the stuff on my notebook, and I didn't do anything. You know what I mean? So it's like, what if something like this could have happened? If it could happen to these kids, I guess it could happen to anyone.
Yeah, and if you heard that this happened in the 40s or something, you're like, right. People were so backwards then. But it was, relatively recent history.
All right, you got another one, Gary?
I do. Is this my last? Is this our last?
One more. I got one more. Then I got to play out song. I'm done.
Somebody was getting on her case about not playing enough new music. And,
okay.
So I've between two here. It's between the Doobie Brothers and because I want to tell this tale of my first kiss. But you know what? I think I'll save that.
Okay.
I'll save that for some personal.
For when we have an all Doobie Brothers show.
Salute to the Doobie. Which Doobie you be?
Bands with a family member in the title.
Yes, that's
brothers.
Hey, that's not bad.
We'll try.
All right. We're going to have family members. Right. So
Sister Sledge?
Instead, or...
Mama Cass?
Mr. Sister?
Papa John Creech.
Oh, yeah, that's
okay,
good.
Okay, keep going. Mr.
This is a band called Dr. Dog out of New York City, and this sounds like an old-timey song, but they're like a new...
Dr. Dog, what year? Band.
This is from, I want to say 2006, I think, but they got tons of great albums, and this is called... The World May Never Know. Kind of sounds like... sounds like Dan Hicks and his Hot Licks with some Magical Mystery Tour outtakes. What is my heart? crazy drum part coming up here. Sorry to the Decemberists and the Damned and Blossom Deary and the Dirty Projectors, but those are all my D's for this edition.
What about D-Light?
D-Light! Oh, man. You know what? I almost had those for the next show. Man, D-Light is awesome. And we didn't get to your Tenacious D.
Oh.
That was the whole point of this. We're like,
I know. You had two chances. I gave you T, and you passed them.
Oh, man.
I gave you D, and you were, because after the D thing, after that debacle, you were
I have one more D. Maybe mine will be Tenacious D.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Or maybe I'll just override both of you.
Whoa.
Hit you with a little of this.
All right.
This is Jack Black. This is my daughter's role model. She tells me that all the time. Jack Black's my role model.
Good one.
I say good.
Yeah.
He did not die in vain. No.
This is from the demo tape they made.
Really?
Probably 95, 96.
Oh, wow.
Before the fame and the fortune. What just is, two fat guys rocking on acoustics.
Just about to rock, yeah.
Well, they haven't changed, really, because they're still two fat guys. They didn't let the money change them.
We reign!
That's good stuff right there, guys.
Awesome.
Well, you know what? I'm gonna forego my last D with apologies to David and David. And we're gonna do a playout song. It's 2012. Why not have a little bit of brand new Van Halen? This has been Rock Solid. I'm Pat Francis.
I'm Gary Lucy.
And this is Tattoo from Van Halen.
Thanks for listening. Jump.
Tattoo.